Today we our first reading is from Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 1-6. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you've not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Then we're also reading from Luke chapter 23, 33-43. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself if he's the Messiah of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription. Thank you. Can't read that from here. This is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanging there kept deriding him and saying, are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.
Hope is the journey that we begin with on the first Sunday of Advent on the 27th of November. And that begins next week. And so we end the year by this strange reading from Luke that feels like we've already done it in Easter. But it's done as a reminder of whom we worship. And we worship not a king with a gold crown, despite the various pictures that may be put before us. But we worship a king of humility, a king of the earth, a king of the dust, a king of the flesh, who carried within himself the divinity of God with such grace and such wild abandon that people were willing to give their lives to follow him in his way. And one of the demonstrations of Christ being king, the reign of Christ, is this demonstration that we see as he is crucified. I found that picture this morning. That's a mosaic. It's the best picture I can find. A mosaic from Christ the King, Sophia Town in Johannesburg. I think it's about 12 or 13 years old, that particular one. And it's actually a much bigger mosaic. There's a lot more happening in there, but that's fabulous. I have some questions I cannot resolve and cannot answer, and despite various reading, I'm still unable to find an accurate response to them. The first is this. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing," as Jesus is being crucified. Now, I have two questions for this particular verse. Firstly, why can't Jesus do it himself? Why does Jesus ask his Father to forgive? Now, there's a whole, we might speculate, but there's nothing within the text that illuminates us as to why Jesus wants his Father to forgive them. Why does he not offer them forgiveness himself? There is speculation, conjecture, possibilities about why that is so. But Jesus is at perhaps at such a point that he himself cannot do it, but he calls upon the resources of his Father and says, "Do it for me." Or perhaps, "Do it because of what they are doing to your son." Maybe Jesus is so overwhelmed with grief and brokenness that he's saying, "Daddy, Papa, this is not what we are supposed to be doing." And who is the they? Again, it's not illuminated. And depending upon which track, which commentary, which theologian, which storyteller you choose to follow, it could be any one of a number of people, but perhaps it is you and I. However, Jesus is being crucified. I'm fairly sure that when you crucify a person, you know what you are doing. If you are beating up a person, there's no mistaking it. You might want to tell the story slightly differently, but you might want to say it's just. You might want to say, "I'm doing this for the good of humankind," but make no mistake, you know what you are doing when you are harming another human being. You can justify it till the cows come home. But they knew. But maybe they didn't. Maybe they didn't know the depth of their own depravity. Maybe they didn't know the depth of their own denial. Maybe they did not know the depth of their own inability to gaze into the face of Jesus and see themselves reflected. At the end of what we have heard today, we have one of the criminals, the good thief, because there's a bad thief, there has to be, because he's nasty. The other thief, who's not nasty, apparently. And he says to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." I would like you to go home with one message today. And the reason I'm saying that is because over the course of the last 3 days, I have met some people who have become good friends, unexpectedly so. Jack and Lisa Reese, American pastors from our Brothers and Sisters in the America, Disciples of Christ movement. Jack has written a book that I have read. What's the title, Mark? At the Blue Hole. Thank you. Elegy, At the Blue Hole, Elegy for a Church on the Edge. It's working within my thinking and my framework of Christian ministry and how I serve you, and not only you but others. And Jack said, as part of our conversation, he said, make sure people have a message that they know what it is. And I don't always do that, and that's okay, I'm allowed to, because unless someone says, I could be wrong. But Jack said, make sure they go home with the message. So the message is this: the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Jesus is here and now. It's among you. Don't wait for it. Don't go looking. Don't think. Jesus is talking about with the thief when they both die, because that's not what's happening at all. Don't think when Jesus, I'm going to say, don't think that when Jesus uses this word paradise that he's talking about where they go when they die. That's not within his My understanding, it's not within his understanding of what paradise is about. The kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom of God is here and now, and your task is to live it. The kingdom of God is here and now, and your task, your responsibility, your call is to live it. And not only that, but Jesus says you can live it. So this is the even better thing. It's really hard. Give it a go. And if you fail, that's all right. It's give it a go because you can, and you will fail as you go along the way, but guess what? We've got a pattern of forgiveness that lifts us up and enables us to get up tomorrow and do it again. And so we are able to live a pattern of forgiveness every single day. And so here's the thing. So that's what I want you to remember. The kingdom of God is here and now. Okay, repeat after me. The kingdom of God is here and now. Okay, that's some of you. The kingdom of God is here and now. And what is this kingdom like? It is a kingdom of forgiveness. Pure and simple. It's a kingdom that's thread through with justice and hope and love and mercy and compassion. It is a way of reconciliation. It is a way of liberation. So I want to indicate some things to help you make this journey. Because there's a journey from this point to this point, from the beginning of the reading to the end of the reading, and we have to make our way from one point to the other. Because it's all very well and good for Jesus to say, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And for the thief to say, Jesus, remember me. And remembering is much bigger than just, oh, I'm going to think about you later. That's a whole nother story that if I start down that track, we'll be here. I can guarantee you, you'll walk out and I will still keep talking. Because you need to hear it, but not today. So I want to tell you a story about me. Is that okay? Is that a shake of the head? Well, tough. Okay, let me rephrase. I will listen to you unless I want to tell you a story. Because one Sunday many, many years ago, I had this moment where I said, saying God be with you isn't right. Because that would be to suggest that God isn't with us. It's not what the intent is, and I have no doubt at all that whoever started that it's a way of blessing. It's an acknowledgement, a recognition of who you are. But I thought, I can't say that. That is gorgeous. Did you make one for me? Or is that mine? Now I've just confused her. God be with you suggests that God is not. And I just felt like that was, it's not wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong by any stretch of the imagination. There are times when it's a good thing to say. So please don't hear me. If this is part of your language, don't say, oh, Anthony says I can't. No, I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is I felt powerfully on this particular Sunday at the end of a service, I couldn't say to people, God be with you. Because I felt like it was communicating something that wasn't true. So I chose not to. And so now I use the phrase that you all know very well. Be with God. This is closer to the truth. I finish my emails with this. I finish my texts with this. And I have done for many years. It's a reminder for me, and it's a reminder for the people I'm communicating with. We're the ones that keep switching off our attention. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Let my attention be fixed on you. Let me as the shepherd not forget whom I serve. Let me as the shepherd not forget who my flock belongs to. Let me not forget whose we are. And so the call is to be with God. It's, by now, most of you would have seen it dozens, if not hundreds of times. I have said it hundreds of times, thousands perhaps. Be with God. If I could have something on my gravestone, that might be it. But I've realized I'm wrong. I've realized I'm wrong. Because it suggests that we're not with God still. 15 years and I've got it wrong. See, I failed. I failed to communicate truth. I haven't communicated the truth as well as I could have. Because the truth is not the encouragement for you to be with God. It's this. You are with God. You might not think it. You might not feel like it. But you are with God. So you want to know what the kicker is? I don't really care if you get this. My concerns are not about your welfare. It sometimes needs to be, because you need to be reminded that you are with God. You sometimes need to be reminded that you are God's, as I do. And you sometimes need to be reminded, we all need to be reminded, that our behaviour isn't reflective of this reality. But you know who needs it more than you do? That's rhetorical. It's an invitation. Are those that have never heard it. And those who think that the only way to be with God is to be here or be like us. You don't need to hear that you are with God. We're supposed to know it. It is the ones who need to be told time and time and time and time and time and time again until it gets into their veins. This is the reality. You are with God. You are with God. And not because you've done all the right things. Believe me, quite frankly, we're not with God because of who we are. We're with God because of whose we are. And we are with God, and therefore our responsibility is to know what we are doing and know how we communicate this with other people. So I'm going to put a bit of pressure on you, and you might not like it, and you might push back at me. Do so on your own terms and don't come to me about it. Unless you have nowhere else to go to talk about it. Thank you, Joe. But otherwise, don't come to me. We talk about the church being a safe place for us, and I'm going to acknowledge right here and now that the church is not a safe place for a lot of people. And by church, I mean the gathering of the people, however that may happen, in whatever circumstance, the church, through all its iterations over the years, has not been a safe place. But I'm not talking about the fact that you got your nose out of joint that someone said something to you that you slightly disagree with. I'm talking about the church as a safe place that remembers distinctly that we are God's. Not you and me, everybody. And then we have acted in a way that has broken that sacred covenant. That kind of safe place. I guarantee you I'm going to upset you if I haven't already. I mean, it's 11 years. I probably may have done it once or twice. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the times that we intentionally have let go of you are God's. You are with God. And acted in a way that has betrayed the love that God has given to us. And so us being safe with one another is really good. It's really important. As you know, if you feel like, oh, that's a bit harsh, Anthony, and you really need to come and speak to me, because I want you to do that. But I'm talking about for a whole group of people who don't know where safe is. Real safety. I'm talking about a group of people who do not know what safety looks like. the abused, the oppressed, the kicked out, the downtrodden, the ignored. I'm trying not to get emotional because I spent 3 days with Brooke Prentice. I spent a day with Uncle Frank Wanganeen on Thursday. I've been listening to stories of heartache and heartbreak. They don't know what safety is, and they're reaching out to us and saying, can we be safe with you? And I'm going to push, now I'm going to get myself in a whole lot of trouble. And I can wear that. I understand this. So come to me for a conversation about this. There's a whole lot of other people in our world who do not know what safety is, and the safety of you are God's is the gift we can give. And that might be the LGBTQI people. I'm not asking us to agree with them. I'm asking us to like them. But I'm asking us to reflect this. You are with God. And if you are with God, your responsibility is to reflect that reality. Not because it suits us, but because our Savior was willing to make the cross a safe place for a thief. And we have got a long way to go. But we live in a community of people. I've had conversations with a number of different people over this week, and twice, on one day, they talked about places of safety. And do you know what? The church needs to be that place again. And we need to fight to get there, because people will not like it, including ourselves. Because I guarantee you, as soon as I talk about being a place of safety, someone will come to me today or tomorrow, or and I say, I didn't feel safe, Anthony. And I'm going to need to work out how to do that. But I want to remember this, you are with God. You are with God. Now, I'm not going to change my emails yet. I'm not changing, because I don't want to just move on and say, well, you are with God now, make that as flippant. I don't want that to be flippant or trite. I'm still going to say, be with God. But maybe you might want to also hear the echo, be with God, you are with God. There's Richard Rohr, Franciscan priest, offers, we're already in the presence of God. What is missing is, what is absent is awareness. Both I'm sorry and not sorry. I've gone on longer than I anticipated this morning, and because the end of the story is, truly I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. Truly today you will be with me, because you will be forgiven. You are forgiven. The ministry of forgiven is in your hands now. And so we sing together this wonderful hymn, make me a channel of your peace. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. This is our responsibility. This is our call. And we don't have to do the whole world, just do one relationship at a time. But may we leave today. The kingdom of God is here and now. And the good news is, people, you, I, we are with God.